This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Part 3. Belief in Allah's Lordship. Chapter 1. Evidence of Our Lord. It is sad to consider that the fastest growing ideology in this world right now is atheism. The breeding ground for atheism is materialist doctrine in the education system and the moral failure of educators in school and universities. Imagine a human being who was born a Muslim, then placed into an environment where the slogan is a separation between God and life. Judeo-Christian democracies may have referred to this as separation of church and state, and by it, they meant to protect the individual right to choose and follow any faith without compulsion or persecution. According to this ideal, faith lies solely between man and his God. This theory is a breeding ground for disbelief, kufr, as without guidance and reminder, even free individuals are at risk of losing faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inferred the institution of teaching, reminding, and establishing principles of faith. The believing men and believing women are allies of one another. They enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and establish prayer and give charity and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And let there be arising from you a nation, inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right, and forbidding what is wrong, and those will be the successful." This is the condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires for His servants to come to know Him. Unfortunately, faith is absent from the lives of most individuals when they live under the doctrine of autonomy from a faith community and detachment from moral cultivation. The message that is instilled day in and day out is that our Lord is not part of our life. It should be no surprise that the core message of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the antithesis to this. We call to community and we call to morality by inviting towards our Lord. Calling such individuals back to the natural states they were born into is the mission of every Muslim living in this environment. But we must realize that we must start from the fundamentals of faith. We must prove to self-identified atheists that there is God. While doing so, we should be aware that the use of revelation as evidence is usually only effective after they acknowledge that God exists. In this chapter, we will furnish intellectual and logical pieces of evidence in 5 categories, each of which establishes the existence of our Lord. These are areas of emphasis for the caller to Islam, Da'i. 1. The intuition, Al-Fitra. 2. The intellect. 3. The invocation, Du'a. 4. The guidance. 5. Miracles of the messengers. The intuition, Al-Fitra. The natural state in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humankind is called the Fitra. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "There is no child who was not born in a state of Fitra." Then he said, "Recite Allah's Fitra with which He has created mankind. No change let there be in Khalqillah, that is a straight religion." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that every child is born on the Fitra. This means that he or she is free from wrong beliefs and is prepared to accept monotheism and the inherent truths in recognizing our Lord. The Fitra does not mean that the people embrace Islam and adhere to its rulings from birth. Another report of the above narration from Abu Muawiyah radiallahu anhu included the wording, "There is no child who is not born in a state of fitra until he begins to speak." The meaning may be that he or she remains in a state of fitra until they have learned from their parents the religions, symbols, and testifications of Judaism, Christianity, or other beliefs instead of Islamic monotheism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "They will say, 'Our Lord, we obeyed our chiefs and elders, and they caused us to go astray.'" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, "In the same way, whenever we had sent a messenger before you to warn a town, the rich ones therein said, 'We found our fathers following a certain belief, and we follow in their footsteps.'" Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explained that humans have inherent capacity to understand submission to the Creator. He defended a position in which mankind naturally perceives Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, just as our eyes are created to perceive light. The natural order inherent in the creation is to know the Creator. Those who go astray from the correct response to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of deviant enculturation. Amazingly, every human being has Islam inside them. Unfortunately, parents, the educational system, the social norms, or cultural practices divert this natural state. Moreover, most human beings throughout history and across religious traditions have affirmed the existence of the Almighty Creator. It is merely part of our nature to recognize these signs because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "So direct your face toward the religion, inclining to truth. Adhere to the fitrah of Allah, upon which He has created all people. No change should there be in the creation of Allah. That is the correct religion, but most of the people do not know." The Quran and Sunnah, prophetic tradition, tell us that this natural state in which all humans were born is reconciled in our enculturation when we go through two extreme moments, excessive joy or intense sorrow, distress. For example, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah rejoices moreover the repentance of His servant when he repents to Him than one of you who was on his mount in the wilderness. Then he lost it, and his food and drink are on it, and he despairs of finding it. He goes to a tree and lies down in its shade, having lost hope of finding his mount. And while he is like that, there it is standing in front of him. So he takes hold of its reins and say, 'Because of this intense joy, O Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord,' making this mistake because of his intense joy." This narration shows how distress reminds us of the fitrah, natural state of belief in which we were born. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with our return to fitrah and provides us with experiences of excessive sorrow and desperation as the liquid which polishes the fitrah on which we were born. This is exemplified in the story of Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, who had been one of the fiercest opponents of the Muslims. On the day of the conquest of Mecca, Ikrimah travelled by sea, and he was caught in a storm. The crew of the ship said, "Turn sincerely toward Allah, for your false gods cannot help you at all in this situation." Ikrimah said, "By Allah, if nothing came to save me at sea except sincerity towards Allah, then nothing else will save me on land. O Allah, I promise you that if you save me from this predicament, I will go to Muhammad and put my hand in his, and I am sure that I will find him generous and forgiving." So he came and accepted Islam. Understanding this element of fitrah is essential in calling others to Islam, because everyone is declined to submit to our Lord. It can be nurtured by calling them to Islam. where the role of the caller is to awaken the ignorant to their fitrah. It is similar to when installing new software onto our computers. The purchased software typically searches inside the central processing unit for a matching component. Likewise, for Islam to be assimilated and functional, there is a fitrah inside everybody and needs nurturing. So continue calling people to Islam. Never give up on them and do it in the best manner possible. Intellect. Some modernists malign the Sunnah, prophetic tradition, as something unsophisticated and negligent of humankind's intellectual capacity. This is wrong. Revelation defines where intellect may be very beneficial and where it has no benefit at all. In some circumstances, intellect could become an obstacle if it belies revelation. Here is the essential subject in proving that the Almighty exists. The default is to use the intellect. Confirmation that a creator exists is in the creation, which points to his greatness and perfection. Then ask yourself the following question: who created all of what we perceive in its complexity? There must be a creator. Otherwise, you will have to conclude the two intellectually false conclusions. Either the creation was created out of nothing, or it established itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Have they been created from nothing, or are they themselves their own creators?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, "Does man not remember that we created him before, while he was nothing?" The universe must necessarily have a creator, because it is impossible for the world to have created itself, or to have spontaneously originated as energy in mass from nothing. Therefore, there must have been a creator who provided the initial force and energy needed to set the universe in motion. It is sometimes called the cosmological argument, or argument from existence. A well-known narration has been reported in various forms that Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, used the motion of the universe to establish the existence of the Creator in his debate with the atheists. While the validity of the narration comes under question, the method of rational thought is brought as a means of knowing your Lord. Ibn Abu al-Izz, rahimahullah, reported this familiar anecdote. Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy on him, was approached by some speculative theologians who intended to discuss Allah's lordship and oneness. He said, "Before we discuss this question, tell me what you think about a boat in the Euphrates which goes to shore, loads itself with food and other things, then returns, anchors, and unloads all by itself without anyone sailing or controlling it." They said, "This is impossible." Abu Hanifa said, "If it is impossible with a boat, how is it possible for the world to move by itself in all its vastness?" Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned a classical formulation of this argument. Once a Bedouin was asked about the evidence of the existence of Allah, he responded, "All praise is due to Allah. The camel's dung testifies to the existence of the camel, and the track testifies to the fact that someone was walking. A sky holds the giant stars, a land that has fairways, and a sea that has waves. Does not all of this testify that the most kind, most knowledgeable exists?" Ibn Kathir further commented, "Ash-Shafi'i said, 'The leaves of a berry bush all have one taste. Worms eat it and produce silk. Bees eat it and produce honey. Boats, camels, and cows eat it and deliver offspring. Deer devour it and produce musk. Yet all of these come from one thing.'" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the diversity in creation from a common source as evidence of his divine plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And within the land and neighboring plots and gardens of grapevines and crops and palm trees, several from a root or otherwise, watered with one water. But we make some of them exceed others in quality of fruit. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who reason. The first intellectual argument a caller to Islam must use, that there must be a creator because of the evidence of creation. The second argument is an assumption of the nature of the creator based on qualities and attributes which must be of higher status than those of the creation. To learn intellectually about the qualities and characteristics of the creator is beyond our grasp. Use of intellect is limited to experiential and perceptual competence, but our Lord is greater than what we can experience and perceive in this life. Instead, revelation is necessary to comprehend and conceptualize our Lord as He describes Himself. The invocation, dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the supplication of the distressed, whether they are believers or otherwise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the disbelievers about their own experiences in the Quran. Are the idols worthier, or the one who answers the prayers of the distressed ones, removes their hardship, and makes you the successors in the land? Is there any Lord besides God? In fact, you take very little heed. In this verse, ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear to the disbelievers that when they sincerely asked Him for help at times of distress or dire need, they felt a certainty that there is a higher power out there ready to help when invoked. This higher power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine. Hence, every human being will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during times of calamity, as it is an innate instinct to turn to the Creator in times of distress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
"Say, who rescues you from the darkness of the land? And see, when you call upon Him imploring aloud and privately, if He should save us from this crisis, we will surely be among the thankful." When the distressed sincerely calls to the Creator, He answers. Who then can deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Lord and Sovereign over our affairs except those who reject guidance? Therefore, the individual who is sincere in her or his search for our Lord need only ask Him for guidance to gain a clear understanding of who our Lord truly is, in which religion He intends for humanity. The guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with a deliberate design. He revealed the manual, guidelines, and manuscript for us to implement, and if we choose to do so, we will become content with our lives in this world and thriving high in the hereafter. If we refuse guidance out of arrogance, contentment will be elusive. This is a legacy of wisdom known since the time of our parents, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and our mother, Hawa. The story is mentioned in the Quran as, Allah said, "Descend from paradise, all your descendants being enemies to one another. If there should come to you guidance from me, then whoever follows my guidance will neither go astray in the world nor suffer in the hereafter, akhirah." How many people live in dysfunction and self-abuse? Many may be smoking and consuming drugs or alcohol, or have many other behavioral problems. Once they start implementing guidance from their Creator, their lives will improve, and they will gain ease. There is a profound example in Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, before and after Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And is one who was dead, and we gave him life, and made for him light by which to walk among the people like one who is in darkness, never to emerge therefrom. Thus it has been made pleasing to the disbelievers that which they were doing." Ease will certainly come after asking for guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And those who are guided, He increases them in guidance and gives them their righteousness." Divine guidance is extended to all of humanity, but it is upon the individual to recognize it and follow willingly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may ease their further process. Such is the case with moral inclinations, which are constructs of divine guidance for those who are aware. Human nature recognizes the existence of the Creator by recognizing objective moral values shared across religions and cultures throughout time. This is known to philosophers as the natural law of the Creator. This is sometimes called the moral argument. Recognizing that the moral argument or natural law is proof of a Creator is only one part of success. The second necessity to achieve success is to follow the authentic guidance from that Creator. Since morality is not relative, nor can it be interpreted by the whims of sectarianism, true loss is to recognize that the moral argument is evidence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then distort or reject the evidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the moral argument. Every soul will be held in pledge for its deeds. Moralists recognize that action or inaction has an effect on self and environment, and the accountability for this effect can only be universally rendered by al-wakil, the one who is free from accountability and the disposer of all affairs of creations. The miracles of the messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down miracles, revelations, and messengers to give clear proof that He exists. And more importantly, what we should do once we come to this realization. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent prophets and messengers with many proofs throughout the ages. These were expressly designed for people to see clearly with their own eyes. Miracles were also sent to their other senses to help mankind experience them as evidence that Allah exists. Miracles of prophets and messengers have come to people through the ages. Prophet Musa, Moses alayhi salam, showed many wonders to the Pharaoh and the children of Israel. Plagues, locusts, water turning to blood, his stick becoming a snake, the voice in the burning bush, and the parting of the Red Sea are manifest miracles of the people of his time. Christians, among the people of the book, Ahl al-Kitab, acknowledge that Allah sent Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, the son of Maryam bint Imran, with miracles as evidence for the people of his time. He spoke from the cradle while he was still a newborn infant, animated birds from clay, cured the sick, gave sight to the blind, and raised the dead man back to life. All clear signs by the permission and empowerment of Allah to direct the people to know that Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, was a messenger of our Lord, as was Prophet Musa, Moses alayhi salam, before him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the last and final messenger of Allah, and sent him with the evidence of all humankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him sallallahu alayhi wasallam with several miracles, but the one miracle which stands out with continuity is the Quran. If someone who did not see the other physical wonders is to ask, what is his miracle? The Quran is the answer to anyone even after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The nature and qualities of the Quran as evidence of the existence of our Lord are voluminous. It suffices to invite to our Lord using his own words so that the sincere and intelligent seekers may discover the exalted through his own attributes.